you depend on. And so now we ask that you prepare our hearts for the message, and you be with Pastor Josh as he brings the word to us. Amen.
How's everyone doing this morning? All right, a couple people doing great. Others maybe still struggling a little bit, maybe a little full still from their Thanksgiving meals. You know, today, as we shared at the beginning of our worship service, it marks the beginning of the Advent season. Now, I know that not everyone grew up celebrating the Advent season, but it's basically a time where we look forward to Christmas Day. And also, as I shared, it's about the coming of Jesus Christ. And so not only Christmas Day, but also looking forward to the day that none of us yet know, but Jesus has promised that he will return. Now, this is an aspect of Advent season that I think sometimes we overlook. We love seeing the nativity scenes, right? Some of them are very intricate. They look very real. Some are cartoon shapes and maybe even using Snoopy and Peanuts to do the nativity. And we see all different sorts of renditions of what it might have been like when Jesus Christ came into the world in the form of a child. But we as Christians, as we look to celebrate Christmas, we must also keep in mind and in our hearts, again, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because when he returns, he will not return in the form of a helpless baby, but he will come in glory. He will come to bring all those who are his followers, his believers, and we will be together with him in glory, in ultimate victory over the enemy. So as we celebrate the Advent season together here in our church, always Christ is at the center. And I believe that the Advent season can be an excellent time, a wonderful time to reflect on who Jesus Christ truly is, to reflect on what it meant for him to come into the world, to bring us four things in particular that we remember during this season, the realities of true eternal hope, true eternal peace, true eternal joy, and of course, true eternal love. All of these things, each of these things made possible, offered to us through Christ Jesus alone. So Christmas is a few weeks away, but as we take time each Sunday together as a church family for people to come up and read verses that point to Jesus and his coming, but also as we light candles to signify these different aspects of who Christ is and what he offers to us, I hope that we will be even more excited for Christmas, that we'll be even more excited for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll look forward together to that as a family. And so today we're going to talk about the hope that Jesus Christ brings. And the title of today's message is this, The Light of Hope. And we're going to look at a passage in John chapter 1. In fact, it's the passage that my family read together before the worship service began. In John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5, and then verses 9 through 13 together. Excuse me. And this is the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's pray together before we get into this. Dear God, I pray that you would wake us up to the reality of who you are. Lord, in this Advent season, I pray that as a church, that as we go through daily readings, as we see in Scripture how from the Old to the New Testament that we have indeed seen just who you are, that you are God, that you are the one who brings truth, hope, peace, joy, love, all the things that people in this world are so hungry for, but ultimately that only you can satisfy that great need. And you didn't have to, but you did. You did come into this world. You didn't have to, but you made a way to us so that those of us who believe would be saved by grace through faith. And God, we thank you. And we pray that you would illuminate this in our hearts, that every year as Christmas rolls around, that it wouldn't be the same just movement. It wouldn't be just the same thing that we do every year. God, would it be something that becomes deeper each year? Even if it's the same simple message, that it would go deeper in our heart, that it would not only affect us for the Advent season, but indeed throughout our whole lives, every day, that we would look forward to your coming, that we would look forward to what it means that we would be together with you. Help us, God, to reflect your love. Help us, God, to be your children, to be your people. And be with me as I preach your word. Be with our church as we hear the word of God being preached. Again, God, thank you for your word that you give to us, your good and perfect word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So hope is a wonderful thing. It can kind of keep us going when times get difficult. It can help us to carry on and persevere. It can give meaning to times when maybe we aren't sure exactly what's happening, but there's a hope. Something that we look forward to, something that we're moving towards. You know, there's a story of a self-made millionaire named Eugene Lang, who greatly changed the lives of a certain sixth grade class in East Harlem. They'd invited him to the school to try to motivate the kids to share with them, to stay in school, to get their education. And the area that the children lived in had a notoriously high dropout rate. And so as he thought about what words he could say, about how he could inspire them, how he could give them hope, how he could help them to stay committed to their academics, he tried his best to jot some notes down, some talking points to speak about. But as he continued to think about what he could say to inspire the students, he crumpled up that piece of paper and he decided to go and just speak from his heart. And as he stood before the class, he felt moved. He simply said, stay in school. But with that, he offered something to the students, hope. He said, if you stay in school and graduate, I'll help pay the college tuition for every single one of you. The students' eyes lit up. Something had changed in them for the first time. The students felt like they were given something that they didn't have before. There was something to look forward to. Hope, this hope. And one student was quoted as saying, I had something to look forward to, something waiting for me, and it was a golden feeling. Nearly 90% of that class went on to graduate from high school. Isn't that an awesome thing? Hope. It can fuel us. Hope. It can give us something to work towards. You see, when there's nothing to look forward to, things can feel hopeless. If all on. And so in that one promise, Eugene Lang gave to those students a light, a ray of hope. There was a promise that they'd receive resources that they could not gather on their own, that they needed to go to college. Now, I don't want to take away from Mr. Lang's philanthropy. I don't want to take away from that promise, that act of kindness that he showed, that promise that he made, that hope that he gave. It's a wonderful thing. And yet the interesting thing is that this hope was conditional. The students had to work hard. They had to stay committed. They had to do well in school, well enough to graduate. And well, 90% graduated. But what about the 10% that did not? You see, there was work that they had to receive the hope that Mr. Ling had promised. Now, again, I'm not taking He did. But what I want to show us about the hope that Jesus Christ gives in the passage that we just read together in John chapter 1 and that we see throughout the pages of Scripture is that there is something about the hope that he gives, which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a hope that we have something to look forward to, someone to, but it is something that we cannot work for or merit by our own committed efforts. You see, the hope that's given through Christ, this gift of forgiveness and eternal life, all we need to do to see him, acknowledge in our hearts that we need him, his forgiveness. And if we just believe in him, then that hope, eternal hope of salvation, forgiveness, yours. And you didn't have to afford it at all. You didn't have to show your commitment first in order to receive it. No, you simply had to see who Christ is, believe, and then the promise is yours. We're not used to things like that, are we, in this world? Usually, if something is promised to us, we are told that we have to offer something back. If there's something promised to us, we feel like we owe it to someone to show them we're worth it, that we can do it, that we deserve it. And yet the promise, the hope that we see in Christ Jesus is that we could never deserve his love, that we could never deserve his salvation, that we can never deserve the gift of himself coming into the world, and yet he chose to give himself. This is the hope of the Advent season. This is the light of hope that is Christ Jesus alone. So we're going to look at that together today in 2 points. Jesus is the light that gives life. And secondly, Jesus is the light that gives eternal life. So he gives life and he gives eternal life. And so we're going to look at that together in point one first, that Jesus is the light that gives life. And we look at these words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Wasn't it so awesome to hear Caleb read those words? Man, that just fills me with so much joy to hear my son starting to read and read Scripture, the truth of God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So here is the message of hope in this Advent season. It is in Christ alone, and so who you put your hope in, what you place your hope in, is just as important as having that hope. Sometimes people just say, just have faith, just have hope. But in what? But in whom? Some people say, just have hope that things will work out for the best. Just have hope that things will improve. Just have hope that will get better. But the Bible says, have hope in Christ Jesus. The eternal hope that he gives through what he did for us. And we see it here in these verses, why he is worthy of our hope, why he is indeed the light of hope that gives life. You see, it's making sure that we know and we acknowledge, especially as believers of Jesus Christ, we acknowledge who he is. And in fact, as Christians, our hope rests upon this answer. Who is Jesus? Fail us. But what we see is the answer is no. He is truthful. He is God. That's what we need to see here. That Jesus is the light that gives life. And we see that in these first verses that he is indeed God. You know, I was talking about those nativity scenes that we see out in the front yards and in front of churches, and you have Mary and Joseph, and you have some animals, and usually the shepherds, and maybe even some wise men, even though the wise men technically weren't there when he was born. It was later on when he was a little bit older, but that's a whole nother, you know, topic for another day. And then there's baby Jesus, the centerpiece. Why? Why is Jesus the centerpiece? Why is this baby, this child, this human child, so important? Well, we know that he was not simply human, but he was also fully God. Look at what it says in verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. You know, oftentimes when we think about the creation account in Genesis 1, we think about God, perhaps God the Father, and he speaks everything into existence. And so we see the creator God, and everything else is his creation. But we have to remember something that I've been speaking on is that the God that we worship and honor and glorify and serve, the God that we worship today, is a triune God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three in one, three persons, yet each truly God. And yet not separate, but one. I know it sounds crazy. It's hard. It shows us there are some things that we don't understand. There are things that God will not reveal to us in a way that we can fathom as human beings. But that is the God that we worship. That is the God that we honor. That is the God that we serve. Three in one. And so even way back in the beginning, pre-existent, before anything else was made, Jesus was there. God the Son. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's why this account is so important. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It makes it clear Jesus is God. Now there are religions that will try to take away from this. Jehovah's Witnesses, they add an article that's not in the original Greek. They will say, and the Word was a God. Mormons will say, well, Jesus, we believe in his deity, but he's like the love child of God and the human being. And that's why he has the attributes of God. There's so many different faiths that try to use Jesus in some way to draw people to themselves. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity at work. And so even in creation, though we don't often think about it that way, Jesus indeed was there. That nothing was made that was made without Jesus Christ. This interrelatedness, this relationship within the Trinity, our triune God. So there's Creator God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the rest of his creation. And so we as humanity would not exist apart from Christ Jesus. Just even the lives that we live right now, whether you are a believer of Jesus Christ or you're not, we don't exist without the love and grace of God. Sometimes we don't think about that. Even that we take for granted. We're already thinking about eternal life, right? Like, what's the purpose of life? But we have to just be thankful that we can live in this world. And then when we look at creation, God creates things in such a way that human beings, the only creation that God made in his image, that we are unique in this world, he gives to us this world to take care of and to show his character, his love. And so we should be thankful in the time of Thanksgiving and thankful in a time of Advent for the life that we have here and now. What an awesome gift to have life in this world. Again, whether you're a believer of Jesus Christ or not, there are things that we enjoy in this world. We can eat delicious foods. We can play sports. We can enjoy art. We can enjoy the great outdoors on a hike, seeing the mountaintops. We can dive into the sea and look at all the different types of fish there are. There's all sorts of things that we can do. We have relationships where we can share in love and happiness together. And all of these things given to us, our families, our friends, all these things that we cherish, none of it is possible. This life itself is not possible apart from Christ who was there. Not anything was made that was made apart from Jesus Christ. I think that's significant. I think we need to think on this a little bit more each and every day. God, thank you that I can live my life. If you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, think on the good things in your life. Think on them, and as you see them, I pray that you'd see how Jesus is the source. You see, he's the light of hope that gives life. You know, I got to go back to Chicago just for a quick trip this weekend to celebrate my little brother getting married. And I got to eat at Portillo's. It's a restaurant. It's one of my favorite foods. And there's this thing called Italian beef. I think you're looking at a picture of it now. But it's just amazing. Okay, so I've been on keto, okay, but I decided I'm in Chicago, right? And I'm not going to get Portillo's that often. So I had this thing. It was bigger than I remember. But this Italian beef, I mean, we're talking about living life and enjoying things. I mean, it is bread, just bread, but it's got beef. And then you dip the whole thing in sauce, in a gravy, and you pull it out, and then you, like, if you're ever in the Midwest area, I think they're starting to expand and stuff, but man, you got to have this Italian beef. So I enjoyed that. I mean, I could go on about how much I love food, but, you know, my little brother, he just married. And it's an awesome thing, these relationships that we're given in this life. Again, whether you're a believer in Christ or not, we can, you know, we can agree, right, that there are such good things in this world, especially as human beings made in God's image, ways that we reflect God's goodness and how we care for each other, how we see one another, how we love one another. And Paul, he's 10 years younger than me. And it really seems like it was just the other day I was playing and VR Troopers, if you guys remember VR Troopers, it was like a knockoff kind of Power Rangers thing, but he really loved it. I still remember he would just walk around, and his favorite line would be, it's very simple because he was very little, it said, "We are VR." And he'd say, "We are VR," and he'd be kicking and punching, and that's what I remember of him, just like, really, just like it was the other day. I remember, for goodness sake, he's 10 years younger than me. And now here he is, grown up, getting married, my kid brother, my baby brother, and I thought about that. I was so thankful for this life. It made me think about my own family, my wife and my kids. You know, of course, there's always ups and downs, but just what an awesome thing this life that we've been given. Amen? And it's not possible apart from Christ. Everything, every good thing that we experience is because of Christ Jesus. But this is the reality that we have to also stay grounded in. Along with all the good things in life, we know that it is not easy. We know that there are things that are terrible in this life. We know that there is tragedy and hardship and difficulty. And all of us here, I'm sure, have experienced it in different ways. Maybe it was in relationship. Maybe it was in career. Maybe it was in school. Identity. How you feel about yourself. Falling into sin. Whatever it might be. There's times in this life where we understand that it is not a perfect world. It's not as it was meant to be. Verse 5, this is why it's important. The light shines in darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. You see, we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God. We acknowledge that He is the light of hope that gives life, that this world was made through Him. But we also acknowledge that there is darkness in this world. We also acknowledge that this world is a broken world. No matter how hard we try to avoid conflict and difficulty, I promise you, you will not be able to honestly avoid these things. Why? Because the world is broken. There is hardship. And you know what? There is evil in this world. And how did it all come about? It happened, actually, very close to the beginning. And I talk about this all the time, but it's so important. In Genesis chapter 3, what did we see happen? For the first time in human history, Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God, when they rebelled against Him, when they did not obey His command, the relationship with God that they had as they walked in the garden together, as they spent time intimately in the garden together, that was severed, it was changed. And then sin, through that rebellion, came into this world, and along with sin, also death. Things that were never meant to be part of the equation. So think on all the good things in life that Jesus, that God gives to us. But all the bad, all the difficulty, those things are not a product of Jesus. Those things are our responsibility, the weight of sin that we incurred by our disobedience, our rebellion against God. And yet this verse in 5, this verse 5, what a hope it gives. That Jesus is the light that gives life, and the darkness has not overcome it. So what we look forward to when Jesus Christ comes into the world for the first time, being fully man and fully God, we know without a doubt that even in his humanity, he never is overcome by temptation. He never is overcome by the darkness, by the brokenness in this world, because he perfectly obeys God the Father. And this leads into our second and final point. Jesus is the light that gives eternal life. So yes, he made the world. He was a part of the process of humanity, us even being present in the world. That when there was disobedience, God did not just say, okay, well, that's it. That's the end of humanity. No, he made a plan. An awesome, ridiculous, unfathomable plan that God himself, the creator of the world, would choose to come into the world, his own creation, that we might have eternal life. You know, some people want to live the good life, quote unquote, and all they can think of is the here and now. All the things I talked about, food, fun, even family, whatever it might be. But God wants more for us. And he offers more to us, eternal life. Let's look at verses 9 through 13 together. The true light, this is Jesus, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, I know it's just one word, but I think the distinction is important. That Jesus indeed is the light of hope that gives life, but he is the only one as well, the only hope to have eternal life. Without Jesus, there is no life at all. Without Jesus, there is no eternal life at all. And so the brokenness that we've talked about, the evil that's in this world, the sin that we are born into, the only remedy, the only hope to save us from that darkness is the one true light, the light of hope that is Jesus Christ. And look at what's laid out. We see what happened to Jesus. He, God, his creation, he comes into his own creation. And they reject him. It says they did not receive him. And not only did they not receive him, they killed him. They crucified him. Can you imagine that? God, in his goodness and love, who makes the world, humanity falls away from God. Relationship is broken. And yet God, in his grace, wants to reconcile that relationship with humanity. And so he comes, the Word, become flesh, the Word, come into the world. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. The world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. You see, there's this relational aspect. It's always about relationship. To know here doesn't just mean, oh, I know about him. No, it means to know. They did not know him in that way. They didn't believe or acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God, that he is the light of hope that gives life, let alone eternal life. And they did not receive him. That means that they did not repent and turn their faith in him. They didn't place their faith in him. They didn't believe in him as creator and savior. And even to this day, perhaps family members that we know, friends, perhaps that we even shared this past Thanksgiving with, there are those who still do not receive the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But don't get discouraged. See the hope that is in Christ. See the hope that is in Christ Jesus. The story, the amazing story of Christmas, the Advent season, the coming of God into his own creation in the form of a helpless baby. Can you think about that? How amazing that story is. That if this, that God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal, everlasting life. Then there is something to that, that as people, we say, oh, we might say that's not really believable. Why would God do that? He doesn't need us. But that's where the relationship is highlighted. That's where the relationship is illuminated. You see, God cares for us deeply, and he makes it clear in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It says only through Jesus that we can have eternal life. Only through Jesus that we can have reconciled relationship with God. And yet he's the one who offers it by sending his own son. He's the one who offers it by becoming flesh, one amongst his own creation. But this is the awesome thing. This is the hope that I want us to rest in. So if you know many people who are not yet believers of Jesus Christ, family, friends, even strangers, sometimes if we just think about it, it can become overwhelming. It can become overwhelming to consider how many people don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I also remember my mission trip to Japan, where it was at that time 99% not Christian. That literally means in a room of 100 people, I'm the only Christian. That every person essentially walking by me does not know Jesus Christ. They have not acknowledged him. They don't see him as the light of hope that gives life, the light of hope that gives eternal life. And I remember being so overwhelmed when I was on the ground. It felt so heavy. God, there's so many people who don't know you. What can I do? What can I do? And what I learned, what I saw in those times, is God reminding me that I used to be one of those 99. I used to be one who was lost in darkness. How did I come to know Christ? It was through his hope. It was through his forward movement towards me. Him sending Jesus into the world. And ultimately, we know what he would go on to do. He came to the world so that we might have eternal life. He came to the world to live a perfect life and then to give his life as a sacrifice that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. So, have hope in this message, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, it was no other thing. It doesn't say all who worked hard enough to become righteous. It doesn't say all who worked hard and proved themselves to God that they were worthy of salvation, that they were saved. No, it says to all who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Just believe. You know, it's kind of like a cliche thing. I think I've seen in some movies, right? It's just like, just believe. And then like something amazing happens. But believe in what? Believe in who? Believe in Jesus, the one true hope. Believe in Jesus who gives eternal life. If you are not a believer of Jesus Christ and you're here, the message of the Advent season is this, that God loves you so much that he came to meet you right where you're at. That he did the impossible so that you could have a light of hope, Jesus Christ, to have eternal life that only he can give to you. Verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is so awesome. We talked about in the first group of verses that Jesus was there for creation. That he was what everything was made through. Without him, nothing could be made. And here we see now in a real sense, we are new creations in Christ if we place our faith in him. Simply by believing in Jesus, who he is, that he is God, that he came into the world, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was resurrected, that he defeated death, he defeated sin, he defeated the evil, the brokenness that's in this world. Our whole person changes. We're no longer of this world, not of blood, not the will of man, but of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Who can make us a new creation but the Creator God himself? You guys see that connection? Isn't that kind of cool? Because of Jesus Christ, it's still connecting. He was there in the beginning. He is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst his creation. This is the God we celebrate on Christmas. This is the God who is coming. And I hope and pray that for those of us who are believers of Jesus Christ, especially, that we would recognize we are no longer of this world. We're still in it, but we are of God. We are children of God, and Jesus gives to us the hope and promise of eternal life. And so as we live in this world, as we look forward to Christmas Day, the hope that Jesus brought into this world as he dwelt amongst his creation, remember that he gave his life for us upon the cross, but that he rose again. So as we live in this broken world, as we go through hardship, perhaps even right now, you don't feel so thankful. Perhaps right now you're more stressed than ever and you don't really care that it's Advent season. I say, turn to Christ. Let him fill you with the... Let him remind you of what is to come if you are a believer of Jesus. Eternity with God, forever in his presence, growing in your relationship with him. How awesome, awesome, awesome will that be? For those of us who have received the true light, our sins are forgiven. We are made brand new creations, and we have been given a new life eternal. So live now with that hope. Live now for eternity. Live now going in your relationship with Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Just take one moment to pray in response. Do you see the hope that is in Christ Jesus alone? There are so many people, so many things in this world that want to say that you can hope in them. But ultimately, at the end of it all, there's only one who will never fail you, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the light that gives life. That's why we're here. But he is the light that gives eternal life as well. So if you're a believer of Jesus, live for eternity right now. That in between of the Advent, we remember Jesus coming into the world, being fully man, being fully God, but living his life, giving it upon the cross, and then being resurrected. And so now where we're living, we who are believers are children of God. Pray as children of God. Live as children of God. Show the hope that is in Christ Jesus. Have others who are not yet believers see the hope that is in you and ask you. Maybe they want to learn more about Christmas, what it really means, why it is so important to you as a Christian. Let that be an opportunity to share the hope that is in Christ alone. You can use these verses. You can share the Advent readings. Scriptures, truth that point to Jesus. Will you do that now? Just pray. Lord, during this Advent season, especially, may I grow in my relationship with you. May the reality of the hope that I have in you be more and more real and more rich in every day that I live. And may others come to know you through how you're working in me. Just take one moment to pray for that, and then I'll close us. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the life that we have. I pray that none of us would take it for granted, whether we're believers of Jesus Christ yet or not. The reality is this life that we have is precious. We can all agree to that. I pray, Lord, that along with that, as we recognize also that there is difficulty, that there is darkness, that there is hardship in life, God, I pray that we would see that you are the true hope. That as we see the sin that is in our hearts, that we see that you are the true hope, that we can only look to you, that only you can give eternal life, forgiveness, and salvation. So help us as a church, especially in this Advent season, point to you, the one true hope. May your light shine truly in us, so that as we live in this world, we would be like little lights in the darkness. God, even the smallest flame can be seen in the darkness. And so I pray that whether we're in a room full of 99 people who do not believe, or 1,000 or 1,000,000, that we would hope in you and know that even the salvation that we have was not by our own doing, but by your grace and love. So may we share that in some way. May we just overflow with that hope. And may many more people come to know you through us, through our lives. So Lord, we look forward to this Christmas day that will be here soon enough. But even more, we also look forward to whenever you will come. We don't know. But God, it'll be so glorious when you thank you for that promise, that hope eternal that we have to look forward to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.